A long time ago, on a mountain high, the Lord God did decree. 31 weeks shall be soaked in blood, honoring rugby league. Honoring the big hits, honoring the line breaks, honoring the stamina, honoring the speed. Honoring the dog shots, honoring the falcons, honoring the elbows, honoring the knees, honoring the piss-ups, the blow-ups, the bubblers, the pumpers, the joeys, the lockies, the pick-em-up and dumpers, the heroes, the villains. The game ain't no riddle when that golden point field goal goes straight down the middle. The greatest minds, intelligence untethered, passion unbind, Matrix and Kondo to the game ever true, direct from the Ball and Orr podcast.
Okay, we are back and present. Welcome, Mr. Matrix.
I'm here.
We are here for the captain's run, going into round six. No sign of Jimmy Woo. He's gallivanting around the Gold Coast. He's had a big day of shaping, so he can't join us tonight, unfortunately. But we do have breaking news. We do know who the winner of the jackpot was. We know it was Derek Farns, which is Beric Barnes, who's a member of the potty, but... He's always too busy during the week for the NRL podcast. But he dropped in the other day, Jared, and he said what he'd like to do with the jackpot. I knew he wouldn't give it, like he wouldn't put it back in as a jackpot. Beric's got the first 5 cents he ever earned. But he has donated it to a few people, which is quite interesting. Number one, the two cartons he wants to put to the next community event. So that's very kind of him. The golf pack. He wants us to select someone just randomly. So we can do that
okay. In
the coming weeks. The Club Lennox voucher, he wants a family that would like to take out their kids for a birthday or something along those lines that they can come and grab the voucher, $100 voucher to Club Lennox and take their kids out or, you know, whoever it is down to Club Lennox for a fee.
Brilliant.
So... That's how the jackpot's rolled out. On the jackpot, we're going to have a week hiatus this week. We'll just have we just need to take a few deep breaths like the South Sydney board and just regroup and we'll be back with a bigger than better jackpot next week. Maybe we spend the $100 that Pigeon owes me for that bet that the jackpot would never go off.
Yes,
sir. It only went off that round.
Yes,
so
bit of an interesting discussion anyway.
Yep, we will get into sort of breaking news as we go through the games because we knew on Monday there would be plenty to talk about, which will be all pretty dominated by when we get to the South's game. But let's start with Thursday night, Jared. The Knights will be at home again. 7:50 Thursday night against the Roosters, who've really been down on form since they got smacked by the Panthers. They were poor last week. They've got some outs. How do we see this one rolling?
Yeah, listen, I think this is a really good test, and I want to see what the Knights bring to this game. They come off that wet weather game last week, which I think is rubbish. There's nothing there to really take out of that game. They handled the conditions really well, went away with a nice 20-point win. That's great. They wanted a win. They wanted the 2 points. We go back through the week prior, a loss to the Warriors, and the week prior, a win over the Storm, who were depleted and also made a lot of errors. We haven't yet seen the Knights aim up a little bit like what we were expecting at the start of the season, nor like the form that they were in late last year. I think they get their chance this week with a dry track. They've only got the one out, and that's Frizzell. Playing at home is really important to them. That's where their best form is. And I, like you, just suggested, I've got some major reservations about the Roosters, and then they just get absolutely whacked with the injury stick. I mean, they've got Tedesco, Walker, Young, Lenu, Smith, and both Billy Smith and Sandon Smith all out. Rearrange what the
what's wrong with Sandon Smith?
I think he's got an ankle issue.
Right. Okay.
So rearrange.
So Connor Watson in at six. Yeah. Keary at seven. Mm.
And then yeah, certainly depletes and changes what they do off the bench. With Tedesco, Walker, and Sandon Smith out, you know, that's quite significant. On the road to Newcastle, been a very strong push in the market for the Knights. Been 2.5, then 3.5, now 4.5 in most places. Knights' record at home at covering the line and or winning is very good. I think they get their chance with the depleted Roosters, but I really want to see a really nice lift in performance, certainly with the Knights. I wouldn't want to take them over 4. I probably more just want to stick with them to be winning.
Yeah, and I think from just earlier discussions, you've pretty much got the Roosters on watch for yourself, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
Thinking that they're a bit of a standout this year, they're not quite there.
Yeah, I did. I backed them for the minor premiership. I backed them to be in the top 4, but I'm just not seeing anything like what I'd like to be seeing in terms of quality of performance. I'm hearing noises over the last couple of weeks that, you know, everybody's not really on the same page. Their attack seems to be very clunky. Listen, they've got a very good coach. He's got a very good record at getting it right, but it's difficult with all these outs out at the moment as well.
Okay. Righto, let's move on to the first game on Friday night. So it's Melbourne Storm at home against the Bulldogs. Heavy favourites here, Melbourne Storm, $1.12. Bulldogs getting 16.5 start. Just before we go to tidy up that game, Jared, I'd just like to make mention, I think, exceptional performance the last couple of years to earn himself a new contract, Nick Meaney. Got an extension, I think, till the end of 2026. It's a real testament to somebody who was in a few struggling clubs, great team man, has played everywhere in the back line, I think, except for halfback since he's been down there. Very, very well-earned contract extension, and quite obviously a very popular member of that squad. And it just shows you if you're in the right setup, you got a bit of talent, which he has, and he's got a great attitude.
Well, I think you're right.
The South boys could probably learn from what Nick's done.
You put both sides of the equation together. A kid who's obviously worked incredibly hard, great attitude, in then a very good system that's brought the best out of him. And yeah, I think. Great news. It was good to see him get that extension. And, you know, he's really slotting in well on the right-hand side as a centre at the Storm. And, you know, couldn't be at a better club, could he?
So Bulldogs, 16.5 start, is that enough?
Is it enough?
Oh, so is it half a bar?
No, not for me.
Full bar?
No, I've got a number that starts with a 2. You know, the Bulldogs have got 7 or 8 outs here, including, you know, some key forwards, the fullback. I like the fact that we're going to see Crichton back at 1, but they're really thin with their forward lineup now, and in particular off the bench. Away travel, I think a bit of a letdown here. I thought that it was clear that they were very motivated and up for that big milestone game last week where they were celebrating a past premiership. They go to Melbourne where I think 2 of the last 3 Melbourne offerings are, you know, 2 of the better form games we've seen so far this season. The game against the Warriors, the game last week against the Broncos. They're all but at full strength. Big question mark about do we see Big Nelson come off the bench? I just think they've got too much attack and points in them, and I think they'll, as I would say, Stephen, probably give the Bulldogs a bit of a bath.
So 3/4 or full bath? Overflowing?
No, this is an overflowing bath.
Overflowing bath. Can I just make mention, I mean, I see him as 19th man again, Toby Sexton. I'd love to see him get a bit more game time.
Yeah, I think they've got
You know, I think they need a bit of zip in there around the halves. I mean, Hutchison's sort of doing the job, but, you know, that'd be the first comment I'd make. The second comment is I've been a bit disappointed. I know it's early days, but Bronson Sherry, like, is he a first-grade footballer?
Well, he certainly doesn't appear to have the zip. There looks like a lot more muscle on his body. He's going to play on that left edge, and it would appear in this game, if that's the case, well, he's going to be next to kick out, and it is the one edge that is working for them. But, I agree with you. I think they're way too slow at 7. You know, I like Drew Hutchinson, surrounded by the right players, but I think he's past his best at first-grade level. And he just hasn't got the speed or the zip that they need. And I agree with you. If you've got Toby Sexton there, I believe he's been given a whole range of tasks to work on in reserve grade, but they need a change.
Well, yeah, you know, you could have Hutchison off the bench. He can, but like he did for the Roosters, he can play multiple positions. He probably could even slot in at hooker. He's played plenty of lock. He's played everywhere for the Roosters.
Yep.
I just think they need more spark.
Yeah.
Anyway. Second game, Friday night, local derby. These are always good games. In saying that, Dolphins are only into their second year, but we had some real cracking games last year. Dolphins versus the Broncos at Suncorp. Broncos giving 7.5 start. They're pretty hot favourites. A few ins and outs, which sort of evens up the ledger here. Does Flegler start? Hopefully he does. Reece Welsh is going to be back. What are you thinking?
Yeah, well, the market nearly touched 10.5 between them, and it's come back 9.5, 8.5, and now 7.5 on the back of the news that Ricky is a late out for the Broncos this morning, which means that they've got Haas and both back rowers missing, then Reynolds, then Mariner. The really good news is that they get Walsh back. Dolphins, though, also been hardly hurt. You know, Kafusi, Farnworth, they already had three others out. And then there's a question mark about Flegler. I can't see that off what I saw last week that Flegler plays. So I'm expecting some late news there. Listen, the Dolphins have won their last week.
So you don't expect him to burn in?
I'm not factoring him in, no.
That'd be a bummer. I'd love to see him and Mr. Carrigan.
Well, I think
Jordan
he's really
Ricky.
Keen to play, which is why he's been named. But, you know, gee, look busted last week. And from what I heard on Monday, he was in really significant doubt of being able to do any training this week. This will be at Suncorp full house. They'll get 53,000 here. It'll be an amazing atmosphere. I'm sure the Dolphins lift, but, gee, they do need to. That's a really thin form line. You know, the Tigers last week, and the Tigers were on a five-day turnaround with two or three key injury outs. The Dolphins then touched up the Titans the week before and the Dragons the week before. I mean, all three of those teams we wouldn't have thought are going to be in contention of the top four. You know, Broncos is just a different gravy out of a really strong form line last week. And I just think the Broncos at the present moment are really hungry for a win. They need to get themselves back on track. They've only picked up, you know, two wins from their opening five games. Back at home, their form is outstanding at home and also when they come off a loss. I think that the Broncos win. I don't know that I really want to play with sort of 7.5 to 8.5 start because I think the Dolphins are also lift.
Yeah, I think they're a little bit thin on in the forwards this week, Jared. Fletcher Baker, Jaden Hunt, Corey Jensen, all starting. I don't know. I think this might be a bit closer than we expect.
Well, if we've got Walsh at the back, we've got Marm, if we've got Saylor coming off the bench, gee, they got some attack.
Yeah, they do. No, they do. And I see Mr. Milford's on the bench first time this year.
Mm.
Interesting. Have you heard any scuttlebutt on his form? Has he?
No, I haven't heard anything. I haven't seen him playing lower grades or what he's been doing. I mean, their sevens going outstanding for a young fella. And, you
he's
know, typical of Bennett, you know, he's just getting the best out of Cody Nikorima. I mean, those two seem to be combining very well. And, you know, clearly the hammer at fullback is just, you know, off a really bad week one. He's been outstanding for the last 3 weeks. I think there's points in that game.
Yeah, Suncorp, it'll be a good track. Mm. All the weather's moved on, so I agree for that one. Saturday, 3 o'clock, we move on to home game for the Warriors, who are starting, you just get the feel that they're starting to wind into some decent form, the sort of form that saw them run into the semis last year. I think one guy that we haven't mentioned that is definitely on Blues watch is Wade Egan. They're going to take on Manly. I see today Manly have come out and told Schuster, you can go elsewhere, which is quite interesting. I don't think it's a surprise to a lot, but...
Well, we knew that back in November, didn't we?
I think we knew it when they signed him.
The worry here about the Eagles is do they put two back-to-back quality efforts together? And their worst form was away form. They were outstanding
getting six
last
and a half
week.
Start here.
Sorry? Yeah, six.
They're getting 6.5 stars.
Yeah, I think that's probably a touch generous. I'm slightly less than six. Yeah, the Manly very impressive last week. They went through the front door with a big forward pack against the Panthers. I thought they did a very good job and then capitalised on that with points. And to put 32 through the Panthers is no mean feat. I'm going to take this over to Auckland. Their away record generally is not flash. Their away record in Auckland is not that flash. I agree with you. I think the Warriors are just slowly building, and that second half last week was just outstanding. Very big move for them in the markets this week, Steve. They were 19s into 12s to win the comp. So there's been some very serious...
Were they?
Very serious money for them Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week, I know, from talking to Tristan Merlihan from Top Sports. So, yes, a very significant move. Jeez, what about this, so Steve?
Yeah,
the two number sevens here played each other in a grand final when? 2011. Jeez. And here we are, 2024, lining up again.
Yeah, right.
What career is that?
Amazing. And look, I mean, Daly Cherry Evans was outstanding. Well, actually, both those halves were outstanding last week, but Cherry Evans in his 310th game.
Two really contrasting styles in attack here, because the Warriors like to play a long kicking game and then they like to work themselves down and then play that last 40 or so metres at you in attack. The Eagles are playing the newer vogue of wanting to play from 50 or 60 metres out, wanting to shift and then create channels down the outside edge. It'd be a really interesting matchup.
Yeah, I don't know. What's Cherry Evans, 35, 36? I reckon he could play till he's 40 the way he's playing. I don't know what the stat is, but gee, he very rarely gets tackled with the ball.
Oh, and he's been injury free. He's had no major injuries.
That's what I mean. His risk of injury is basically zero unless he trips over himself.
And if he played the 40, Steve, where does he play? Does he start the Eagles?
He'd probably sign for the Titans, wouldn't he? He's done that once before.
Yeah, well, he nearly
okay.
Nearly
Saturday afternoon, 5:30. Saturday afternoon, 5:30. According to Paul Ken on NRL 360, that might be the new home for Wayne Bennett. Parramatta take on the Cowboys. I don't know how fortune sort of favour the Brave a little bit. You know, they've lost Mitchell Moses, and the Eels' form in the last 2 weeks has been average after a really good performance against Manly at CommBank Stadium a couple of weeks ago. Jeez, a couple of weeks in the NRL, it's... It can really have an effect on NRL coaches. They're coming up against the Cowboys, who, with the ball, are pretty bloody damn good. But as you've nominated Jared in previous weeks, without the ball, they don't seem to be rolling the sleeves up.
No, they don't. They're conceding 28 points a week. They just don't like the tough stuff. And yeah, we saw
28 a week.
28 a week.
Jeez,
and we saw last week in that last 20 minutes when, you know, they got out to a commanding lead and, you know, they were in front by 24 or 26 points and should have just gone away with the game, playing at home. You know, the Titans were very meek. The Titans got a little bit of football and just started to play a little bit of football at them, and the Cowboys just completely rolled over. They just don't go with wanting to work hard for 80 minutes, especially if they've got to work hard at defence. I think there's a nice upset here. I'm quite keen about the Eels at home winning.
Are you? A
couple of key things about the Cowboys. Their record when they travel is really poor, especially in the Sydney. Last 26 times they've been to Sydney, they've come up with only 6 wins. Last 4 times they've been to Commonwealth Bank Stadium to play Parramatta, they've come away with 0. So 4 losses when they've last been to the ground. This is where Parramatta play their best football. And their record when they're an underdog, which is very rare at home, they're normally the pronounced favourite. The last 6 times they've been an underdog at home, they've covered the line 4 on 4 occasions. I can't believe it's 3.5 star. I thought it should have been much closer. I'm with the Eels win straight up. Nice upset, and I'd certainly be taking the start.
Is Brett Arthur under pressure?
Oh, I don't think so, no. I mean, unless they absolutely plummeted and, you know, fell into the bottom 4, then maybe. He's got a very good excuse and reason at the moment, and that is that clearly he's got his best player out for 6 weeks. I mean, the guy's in the middle of negotiations with Lomax and having barbecues at his home. Do you think that would be unfolding if there was any thought of threat that he might not have the role next year.
Maybe Lomax has taken the Dragons community barbecue around that they used to use a couple of years ago. Righto, 7:30, South Sydney take on the Sharks. I don't know. It's all happening at the Rabbitohs, according to all news reports today. Mal Meninga's going to be the interim coach. Demetrio's, I don't know, does he coach his last game? It looks like it's just imploding by the day there. Latrell, you know, I don't know. I'm hearing, I'm sure you are, Jared, that his manager has been sussing out clubs up and down the coast. He's got 3 weeks out of the game with suspension. Cookie's been dropped. Not sure I agree with that one. And they're going to take on the Cronulla Sharks on Saturday night.
Yeah, I can't believe a couple of the changes here. And I understand that they had that little period where the Warriors got on top early in the second half and, you know, Cook missed a key play and Tellis Duncan also missed a key play.
Yep.
But, yeah, Tellis Duncan's part of their future. The kid's got a lot of promise and is very talented and he needs more time in first grade, especially at the moment where they're needing blokes in the middle with effort. Cook, yes.
Quite frankly, Cook's not their problem.
No,
for fuck's sake, he's not.
But, you know, I could understand that maybe Cook starts off the bench and I'd use Havili at 13 and move Cameron Murray to an edge. You know, Cameron Murray's doing more work than three blokes need to each week. I mean, the guy's taking years off his career because he's got to carry so many of them.
You go back over the last 3 weeks and watch the South's press conference where the captain sits in with the coach. Murray is lucky to be able to have enough energy to talk.
Yep.
The guy is working himself to a standstill every week.
Well, and I believe that
there's
stuff that, you know, he's just not happy about what's been going on in the joint for 12 months, not 12 weeks. So, you know, there's a perfect example of all of the background issues. I'm sure, unfortunately, that it's Demetrio's last game. The Sharks, listen, you've got to be really...
Are you hearing from your sources that that's 100% correct, that he's gone?
I don't know that it's 100%, but listen, I'd have to say that he's, you know... He's probably hanging on by a whisker of about 2 or 3%. You know, they had, you know, hookups of meetings all morning on Monday, which was clearly to put succession plans in place and, you know, all the background discussions that are going on with Bennett and other people and directors and God knows what. I mean, they nearly had a board meeting call for Monday night, and then after all of their hookups on Monday, they decided not to. So clearly there's lots of moves afoot about what they do and, you know, whether Meninga now comes in as an interim role, I don't know. But I'm sure that there's change.
Is he the right choice?
Sorry?
As an interim? Is he the right choice as an interim or a full-time coach, like moving forward?
I don't know that as a full-time coach, but I do have a lot of time for Mal as a coach. And I think as a senior guy who's also got a good rapport with guys like Latrell, he would be very valuable in just trying to settle things down for 3 months and give them a bit of direction and hold it together while in the background they sort out who the new man is coming in. The key thing that I don't think anybody's touched on today, though, if the new man coming in is Wayne Bennett, Wayne would be being asked. So, you know, is he happy that Mal might be the right bloke or does he want something else unfolding? I think the key to the Sharks here is their extended bench. They've got Rudolph and Hamlin Ueli named. Now, they haven't played for a number of weeks. If they are in the starting 17 and they also have Nicara back, gee, I think the Sharks might end up doing a bit of a bath here. So I'd wait to see the final teams. But if they've got the forwards to match that in the middle and those three guys end up starting, they've got the attack down now as those outside edges are really... hurt the Rabbits.
You know, the unfortunate thing with Demetrio's demise is there is not one example, not one, in all of Wayne's history of the coach that takes over after him, they all end up on the scrap heap. So unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, listen, I think it deserves a longer conversation that maybe we do on another podcast at some stage. I think each one's a little bit individual and I think, you know, Wayne is just such an outstanding coach that he leaves a vacuum
I think that's what it shows.
Yeah.
It just shows that he's just such a great man manager. And you know, everyone that's been around the Rabbits or been around Demetrio at the Rabbits or the Broncos, I haven't heard anyone say that he can't coach. No. They all are very glowing in his football knowledge, the fact that he can coach and all the rest of it. It just shows you again, unfortunately, you know, this gig in the NRL as a head coach is, it's way more, there's way more to it than just, you know,
I think it's really sad because he's a really good guy. Yeah. Everybody speaks highly of him. I watched his career when he was coaching in the UK before he came back and then coached in the Queensland Cup. The guy really knows what he's doing. He knows how to coach. But there's no doubt that what Sam blew up about and had to say going back in the middle of last year was 100% right. And JD got it wrong. He backed a couple of the wrong people. He backed them the wrong way. Mm. He also handled a few other things the wrong way. And it's just caused this massive split and they've never got themselves back on track.
Yeah, unfortunate. Righto, Sunday, 4 o'clock, 4:05. It is the Tigers versus the Red V.
Red V can win here.
Can they?
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. Jared, I'm just running to the tab. I want to get on the Tigers. The mock has spoken. Righto, how do you see this?
The Tigers 2 weeks ago, that really credible game against the Eels where they end up coming up with a one-point win, they're now missing four key guys that were part of that squad. So they lost Galvin last week. Then they've out of that last week, they lose Bateman and the two Finu brothers. I think that really just brings them back, in particular the loss of Galvin. Playing at Campbelltown, you know what their record is like at Campbelltown? Absolutely horrible. They've lost their last eight games at Campbelltown. It should be a bit of a fortress for them. And they've got a horrible record where they're favourite, which they are here, which is very rare. Dragons actually have won two of the last three times they've been at the ground and three of the last four times that they've played the Tigers. Yeah, the Dragons' form is really patchy. They're difficult to catch. It's like throwing darts with them sometimes. But I just clearly they're not suited by those horrible wet conditions last week. If they get a dry track here and get back to playing a little bit of the game style that they played against the Eagles a couple of weeks ago, I think they can keep the game close and I give them a bit of a chance.
Oh, that's very refreshing. Thank you, Mr. Matrix. We don't need to talk about that one any longer. 6:15, Raiders versus, Jesus, the Titans. This is probably six in a row, is it? Oh, no, they had a bye.
When and where does the Titans' first win come, Steve? I don't know.
They don't have a great draw. I mean, I did have a look on Monday. You mentioned that to me. They're getting 8.5 start here. I don't think that's enough, is it?
I'm north of 10, you know, I'd be 12 or 14. And, you know, equally the Raiders are a little tricky to catch the right day that they're on. But the one thing that we saw last week against the Eels is that back five has got a lot of speed and a lot of attack in them. And, you know, Schiller on an edge now, Savage is just coming to the fore. Strange at six is just, he's going to be a very good footballer. And a lot of raps on this kid that gets his first game at number one this week for them, Chevy Stewart. They say he's very fast and very, very capable. Well, if that's the case, they've got their back five speed can absolutely rip holes through this Titans defence at the present moment. There's got to be a question mark about whether Foran plays. I mean, he did not look good last week. If you look at the bench, then I would suggest that Campbell's going to go to the halves and they'll bring Keno Kenny onto a fullback. The Gold Coast Titans, I've touched on before, hate travelling. Well, last week they went to Townsville. 2 weeks prior to that, they went to Sydney and got flogged by the Bulldogs, and now they come to Canberra. And their record in Canberra, they won, lost eight of their last nine. If Canberra are half serious, they win by 20.
Jeez. I'll tell you one thing that I will say, Jared, down in the nation's capital, with Sookie Bub, they really are unearthing some good young talent. I've seen this Chevy Stewart play a few times. He is the goods. I see they've extended Tomoko, this young center's contract. We know that he can play.
Yep.
You touched on Ethan Strange, the 5'8". He's only 19. He's got plenty of game.
Yep. They're about to sign this kid from Parramatta.
Oh, the 5'8"?
Yeah, young halfback, yep. They'll sign him in week six or week seven. I think they're allowed to do that. The other thing that's changed too, Stephen, is I'm not sure who's running the attack this year, whether it's Ennis that's had significant influence, but they've changed.
Nah, he's at Manly, Michael Ennis.
That's right, he is too. So I'm not sure who's the key influencer on what they're doing with attack, but somebody's had significant influence because you have a really good look at that tape last week against the Eels. They've got this preparedness now to play a game style that's very similar to what the Broncos or the Eagles are doing, and that is from 50 to 60 to 70 metres out, not only sideways shifts, but sideways shifts that create a channel down either outside edge where they're then using that speed advantage that they've got. It's not a game style that Stewart's played in the past, but I love it. I think it's bringing out the best of that back five. Add to that the quality of that kicking game and then a couple of those big boppers up front. I mean, they're a team on the up if they can manage this.
Yeah, and they've got a good draw. They've got a favourable draw as well.
Yeah, they have.
Okay, well, so just run us through your tips, Mr. Matrix.
Tips of the week.
Say something? I noticed that you don't have your hat on with M yet. Have you not ordered?
No, that's not, it's ordered. Yeah. It's a gold plated M.
Right.
Coming by my friends at Top Sport, I think.
Okay, can we get a best bet this week,
yeah,
please?
Yeah, we can. I think we were on the money with some points last week, weren't we? Listen.
No. You did. You took the Dragons
with the whip.
Your best bet was Dragons with Start.
Yes, it was.
Remember?
It was.
Fucking disgraceful. So, Lift, what is it? What is it this week?
Okay. Knights a win, Storm the win, Broncos a win, Warriors the win, Eels to cause the upset, Sharks a win comfortably, Dragons to squeak home, Raiders a win by a margin in the last. Listen, I think the best is the Storm. -8.5, I don't think is anywhere near close enough.
Okay, to give the doggies a full bath, an overflowing bath.
Yeah, overflowing bath.
That's your bet of the week.
Bet of the week is the Storm to cover the line and do so, I think, comfortably.
Okay, now, Jared, we also know, we'll just throw in another one. It is that time of the year. The Masters starts this weekend. 24-hour coverage pretty much on Foxtel. Amazing coverage. Condo is going absolute shit in the tipping because I'm just going for upsets. But a few tips this week. I've done a lot of homework on this. Win or top 10, I'm sort of thinking for these guys. Sergio, Jason Day, Cam Smith, Hideki, Brooks Koepka, Jacko Niemann
okay.
are my picks.
Love it.
All right, can you please get on? So I'm saying to win or top 10.
Okay. All right.
Okay, Scotty Scheffler is like, you know, I think he's paying $4.50. He will be top five for sure. And if he has a half decent 3 or 4 days of putting, he probably will win, and he could possibly win quite comfortably. He's been in outstanding ball-striking form, but they're my tips.
Okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. If one of those win it outright, $200 gift card from me to go for a jackpot during the season in the tipping
column. Holy dooly. Hang on. So I'm saying Sergio, Jason Day, Cam Smith, Hideki Matsuyama, Brooks Koepka, Jacko Niemann. Now, if any one of those guys win it outright.
Outright. So they've got to win it on the final day. I'll drop $200 in a bucket for the jackpot.
Okay, well, you know what? I'll match that.
Okay.
Because if any one of those guys win it outright, I think Condo will be able to afford it because I've had a little bit of a go. Anyway, I only have one decent golf bet every year, so I'm allowed to do that. That's good. Well, Monday morning, we'll be able to do the wrap-up of the golf and the NRL.
And we might be pausing all the way through it, and all the listeners in the background are going glued to their set to see if there's $400 dropping in for the jackpot.
Oh, fuck, I'd love to see one of those. How good would it be if Cam Smith won another one?
Yes.
Anyway, righto, we'll catch you on Monday. Thank you,
be
Mr.
Good.
Matrix. Can you get that hat by Monday?
Yes, all right.
See ya.
Smoke here. We only set fire through the microphones.